I confess that I procrastinate. This will not be news to most of you. Before my brain really kicks in, I have to get up this great sense of urgency in order to get something done. Today's readings have that very sense of urgency about them. The appointed time has grown short. The time is fulfilled. Immediately they got up. You would think that someone as dedicated to challenging deadlines as I am would get that something is up. And that was over 2,000 years ago. Does the urgency of a prior millennium still have any urgency, any power for us today? Perhaps not. And yet, doesn't every generation have its own moments of urgency? Look at Jonah, perhaps the ultimate procrastinator. He did everything he could not to go to Nineveh. But when he finally did, the people heard him and believed God, and they turned from their evil ways, and the calamity was averted. Today, my friends, we are like the people of Nineveh. A great calamity is upon us. It is a calamity in slow motion. And so it's difficult for our primitive brains to develop a sense of urgency. If we were facing a saber-toothed tiger, we would know immediately that we needed to do something. Our fight or flight response would kick in, and one way or another, we would have to deal with it. But the climate crisis is here and it's real, and yet it's not in our face. It's not breathing fetid breath and roaring at us. It's going on slowly and imperceptibly in the background of our lives. But it is urgent that we notice. It is urgent that we change our ways and work for the redemption of our planet and all the life upon it. It is past time for us, like the people of Nineveh, to proclaim a fast from fossil fuels and everyone, great and small, to put on the proverbial sackcloth and turn from our evil ways. It is past time. For Paul, writing to the Corinthians, the time was so short that the work of God had to take precedence over everything. For the present form of this world is passing away, he wrote. We can be sure too that the present form of this world is passing away. The world our grandchildren inherit will be very different. Is not this a time in our lives when life is so short, the urgency so great, that we should put everything aside for the great work, the great turning? It seems that there is a pattern whereby about every 500 years or so there has been a major upheaval in the socio-political and religious life of humanity. We are in one of those times right now, a time when things unravel, a time when what was thought to be sure is questioned, and then, almost imperceptibly at first, new answers, new ideas appear. Much has already unraveled. More may yet come apart. These are not comfortable times to live in. But people of God, they are our times. For us, this is the appointed time. The time has been fulfilled and the reign of God has come near. So how then shall we respond? Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." To repent is to turn. This time has been called the great turning, but it will only be known by our descendants as the great turning if we turn. Otherwise, it may be remembered as the great extinction, when thousands of species became extinct, civilizations toppled, and millions of humans died of famine, drought, flood, and disease. But we are at an exciting moment in our nation's history. After 4 years of lies and bullying being normalized, we have elected a president with a history of working cooperatively who promises to tell us the truth. We have looked into one future and chosen another. But we cannot sit back thinking that all is well. What would have happened if the leaders of Nineveh, then the most powerful and largest city in the world, had said, "We've got this handled," and the people had gone about their lives in the same old way, no sackcloth, no ashes, no repentance? Would God have changed his mind about the calamity that was about to fall upon them? Probably not. But now, I don't want you to go away thinking and saying that I preach that the climate crisis is God punishing us or choosing to bring a calamity upon us. The ancient writers might see it that way, but I think it is that our behavior has consequences, and our rape of the earth for resources so that we can live more comfortably. We can live the most comfortable, resource-rich life this planet has ever seen. That our behavior has led to changes in the climate which are speeding up. And as they speed up, so life as we know it is threatened. This is a time for repentance. This is a time for turning. This is a time for urgency, not a time to wait, not a time to procrastinate. And it's not just about climate change. The climate crisis symbolizes the way our human attitude of taking as much as we can for ourselves has created imbalance and inequality. Our failure to love our environment is mirrored in our failure to love our neighbor. It is no coincidence that many black people live in areas where the air is scarcely breathable. It is no coincidence that the rich are still getting richer and the poor are dealing not just with poverty, but with rising sea levels taking away their homes, increased flooding, reducing their crops, or drought and locust destroying their livelihood. In this country, the pandemic has hit indigenous and black communities much harder than white. In this county, Latinx people are almost three times more likely to have been infected with the coronavirus than the rest of us. Economically, the stock market is still doing well, blessing those who have investments or pensions that rely on investments. But more than 20 million jobs have been lost, and one in four Americans is having trouble paying their bills. It has been described as a K-shaped recovery, with some of us going up the arm of the K and many falling down the leg. The system is rigged. The system is rigged against the earth, and the system is rigged against the majority of humanity so that the minority can continue to be comfortable and live insulated from the deep inequities and the deep grief of our world. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." My friends, what are we waiting for? The moment is urgent. The reign of God has come near. Will we repent? Will we return and believe in the good news that God is a God of love and liberation? Will we get on board with the work that God is already doing, that God is already engaged in, to bring something new out of this time of unraveling? Will we be part of the great turning or the great extinction? Jesus is calling, "Follow me."